CliffCentral.com.
After the show on Friday, somebody said to me I was a trending topic on Twitter. I thought, yes. Oh, Jesus, what
always
is this?
Delightful.
Yeah, I mean, whenever that happens, I just go, oh, what now? Because you never know, right? So I mean, I'm just going to tell you the basics because I've written a blog about this, and that pretty much puts it all out there. And you don't need to know too much more than that because that's all there is to say. So apparently, someone posted a tweet. I don't know who this person is, and they said that when she and her friends were 15, and she's 27 now, she met me at a nightclub, and I bought them drinks, and I said to them, oh, I want to kiss one of your friends, or I tried to kiss one of her friends, or whatever. So it took off on Twitter, and there were a whole lot of other things that came in, fallacious, complete nonsense that came in. It all piled up, and people piled on, obviously, which happens on social media now. So it went everywhere. It went to deplatform him because he disputed the U.S. election result, which is just so ridiculous. And, you know, as if I was Donald Trump, who was responsible for the insurrection. Can you imagine? Now, I've been a broadcaster for 25 years, so whether I like it or not, I'm in the public eye. And, you know, DJing in clubs, and we've discussed this on the show a million times, so this is not something that's so bizarre or different. All those years, I have said, you know, you go into clubs, it's an environment where things happen, and I know I've never, you know, I've never ever done anything that I would be embarrassed about that anyone else who's been to a club wouldn't be embarrassed about. And I've got a clean conscience that front. But you know how it goes. Like, before you know it, on Saturday, and I was just a wreck on Friday and Saturday because by, you know, Saturday afternoon, it had all petered out anyway. But the whole of Friday night, you know, you're being called like a predator and all these terrible things, which it just – I've endured a lot. I mean – you know, I thought about it, and this is by no means a pity party for me, because I do want to say to everybody who listens to the show and who supported me over 25 years by listening, by, you know, participating in the show, by buying the books or the, you know, the various things that we've done over all the years, the subscriptions to CliffCentral.com and, you know, everything else that we've done. We've got so many great people who support us and who've supported me every step of the way, and I just can't tell you how grateful that's what gives me the strength to carry on, because there's been you remember when I had a baby supposedly with a woman in the Northwest? You remember that story?
Oh yes.
I was on Father's Day one year that came out in the Sunday Sun. They had to retract that story and apologize, which they did a week later, but nobody ever sees the apology. So, you know, wherever people feel like bringing that story up, it's as if it's true and it's still going on. Mar-a-Lago and the supposed spiking of the drink, which was also proven to be absolute nonsense. And that newspaper also had to issue an apology. But of course, people still think it's true, and they bring that up, which drives me crazy too. So we made a comment because the only newspaper, to their credit, was The Citizen that asked for a comment on Saturday. And Rena said, no comment. This is Twitter, after all. And we know by now how that plays out, right?
Yeah.
So this is what they wrote. After that, that was all she said. That was all she said. The whole email was, no comment. This is Twitter, after all. We all know by now how that plays out. That's it. That's all she said. The full comment from us. This is what they wrote. Cliff's management, said he, who despises cancel culture and woke Twitter, would not be commenting on the allegations being used against him or whatever. I mean, it's like they want to stoke up nonsense. So,
of course,
I would just like to say to all those journalists who are studying hard, who've worked hard, who've been in business in South African journalism for a long time, and know how important the truth is and know how important it is to do the right thing and to dig deeper, to make sure that you have everything in order. I just want to say to those journalists, thank you. And to those who aren't, you have a hell of a job to do, because people need to know who to trust. And trust in media is an all-time low in South Africa and in the world. And we've got to do everything we can to build that up rather than break it down.
Trust in media is at an all-time low because it's become popular to dig out stories from nowhere.
No.
And that gets more money to journalists, and journalists aren't well paid as it is. So it's the way that it is. It's like the paparazzi, you know, finding those photographs that have no context, yet sell for so much.
Well, I mean, I don't know why, but people were smashing Pearl Tusi to pieces on Friday as well. They were having a go at Somizi yesterday. It's just a very ugly place. And we've discussed the allegations against, you know, Fresh and Euphonic. We've discussed a number of these things that have occurred. In fact, I had Mac G on my show on ENCA last week to talk about the stuff that happens on social media. And it's amazing. Like, 1 minute you're a trending topic, and the next day they've completely forgotten about you. So it's not as if the people online actually care about these stories. They don't care about whether anything's true or not. They don't care about whether anyone's been hurt or not. They don't care about whether or not there are actual victims involved in any of these stories. What they're interested in is just being part of that moment and getting their little bit of the action. And you know what? That's just the game, I suppose, that we're all in now, whether we like it or not. And I suppose they'll come for everybody eventually. So you've just got to be ready for it. Anyway, it was a shitty weekend, and I would be lying to you if I said that I had a happy time. I pretty much canceled everything and just stayed at home and I watched. My way of what I did, actually, which was quite fun, and it's something I haven't done since I was a kid, or at least since I was a teenager, is I started going through my Asterix books, because they're such beautifully they're such beautifully illustrated books. And God, I love them. I was doing like 4 or 5 of them in a row, you know, and just breezing through them, which was so much fun.
Anyway. I mean, I remember reading through those the first time I discovered them. I was about 6, I think. 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And my grandparents had a huge collection. Yeah. And I remember sitting and reading them there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously my favorite character was Dogmatix.
Yeah, Dogmatix is very cute. Dogmatix is Obelix's little dog, and he like hates it when trees get pulled out of the ground. And he's vicious as hell. Just, if you've never read Asterix books, they'll teach you a whole lot of very funny stereotypical things about people from all over the world. Like, most of the attitudes I have about like German people or about French people or about Italians or about Britons or whatever they are were informed by Asterix's stereotypical view of these things. Asterix has been called racist and all kinds of things too, although it's really just fun. And if you see racism there, then you've really got some serious issues, because it's just a fun book. And, you know, they've tried to explain how the ancient world worked for, you know, an audience that might know nothing about that ancient world. I mean, it got me to love ancient Rome and to start me down that path. So if you haven't read Asterix, do it. It'll change your life. Anyway, I do want to say quickly that I saw Lubabalo kind of striking back, and I know he's been a loyal listener of ours for the longest time on Twitter, and I just want to say thanks, dude, and to everybody else who did. But you really waste your breath on places like Twitter.
Yeah.
There's no point, right, Sia? I mean, you've seen all of this unfold.
Yeah.
You can't. It's just futile to even try. Or how there's never enough. You can't exactly say anything that would actually make people go, oh, okay, no, I'll back off and keep quiet then.
Yeah, exactly.
So you just let it be. But, you really just have to let it be.
I, you know, if any of this, and most of the stuff that happens in terms of like vicious rumor or allegation without any evidence, most of it comes from like anonymous accounts where people either don't have even a profile picture or, you know, and it's just, I'm not especially sensitive to this because it's me. You know that, because we've been talking about this for weeks and months and years on the show. So it drives me crazy that it's happening. It almost like it needs some kind of a handbrake. And by the way, I mean, there are obviously lots of really awful people that have been brought to book by, you know, stuff on social media, and those people deserve it. I'm entirely in favor of that. I think that it's a great way for us to hold people accountable, but we can't just throw around nonsense. And
yeah, for sure.
It can ruin.
And it's all about being. Yeah, and it's all about being the first comment or, hey, have you seen this? Mm. You want to be the person who breaks the news without even taking anything else into consideration.
Yeah. How was your weekend? Suppose, what did you get up to?
Well, my mom had an operation on Friday.
Mm, we missed her on Friday. How did it go?
It wasn't a serious operation. I mean, it was serious. It's because she's battling to breathe. But it wasn't a massive procedure. But just being back in the hospital brought back so many memories of being there every day for a year and a half when she was there. But it's amazing to see how every single nursing sister who realized that she was there from her old neuro ward came running over.
Oh, wow.
The neurosurgeons, the neurologists, the every single surgeon who was involved in her, you know, journey of having a stroke and being in ICU for over a year was there.
That's sweet.
They were taking photographs. They couldn't believe how amazing she was. Sending photographs to each other on WhatsApp saying, "No, you know, Nola's here. You have to come and see her." It was like a little party.
Yeah. That's so cute.
Yeah, it was just everybody, you know, everyone knew that she was there. And they said, we never get to see the patients because you must think in a neuro ward, they look after these patients for months to years. And these patients go off, they go home, and they never hear from them again.
If they get better, it's done. Mm-hmm. It's like they were never there before. And sometimes when they come back, I mean, you would think, well, these people see so many patients in a year. Why would they give a damn? And then they were there, and it just warms my heart to know that there are people who, it's not just a job for them. They really care. And I mean, I've always believed that about nurses, doctors, teachers, even to some extent, policemen and women. You know, they seem a lot of those jobs are the kinds of jobs that people go into because they feel they want to work with people, be of service. They genuinely care about their job. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't do it properly, right? And just as much as it attracts some of the wrong people for the wrong reasons, it really does attract a majority of people for the right ones. It's great. That's such a nice,
that's very sweet.
A sweet, heartwarming story.
That was really amazing to see. And I think it also gave my mom such a boost, you know, seeing people's reactions. Of course, the reaction that I got when I walked in was a few of the nurses going, "Oh, my God. You've put on weight," but they use the sign where they put their arms up, you know, and clench their fists. And that really, that really drove home. I found myself finding back entrances to leave after all said that.
That's terrible.
And, you know, my mom also put on weight, but for that they were pleased. And I said, but I've also put on weight because of my mother.
It's double standard.
But anyway, just being at the hospital during COVID times is really eye-opening.
Yeah.
And chatting to one of the ICU nurses who I befriended, she said, you know, during COVID, it was so lonely, and a lot of the staff were getting infected. A lot of the doctors were experiencing burnout, and you know, this is not at a government hospital. This is a private hospital. But she said she would go on her smoke breaks and just see trucks coming and collecting bodies, and just how demoralizing it was for them. And also losing neuro patients to COVID after they'd had a long fight and were almost out of it.
Well, I mean, these are some of the people that we aren't doing a real accounting of, is the people who, and we've spoken about cancer therapy that people had to miss out on or postpone because we'd requisitioned so much of the hospitals for COVID. And I mean, it goes for what's wrong with me this morning? And neuro patients as well. It's like I'm having trouble breathing. At least I'm not burping in your face like I've done before. Oh. But yeah, those are the people who I suppose are going to, and they won't get the attention that COVID patients have been getting over the last year and a half. You know, they're just going to be part of the overall death toll. And it's very, very sad. It's very sad. That stuff is just absolutely an ordeal for families in each case. And I've said this before, but we are going through it now, and there's going to be a point somewhere at the end of this, or even before the end of it comes, where we're all just going to be emotionally exhausted by it, because there are so many people who have lost. I mean, one of my friends lost his dad about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And, you know, that it's going to take a while for it to settle in, just what these unnecessary deaths from this new disease have brought to us. And obviously all the related stuff, too. So we got a lot to work through, people. We got a lot to get through.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, because you weren't on Friday, Leanne, I don't think you heard it, but Damon was on, and he was talking about cleaning an enormous Persian carpet and how in order to dry it, he put it over a jungle gym, and then the jungle gym and the carpet fell on him. And he cracked.
Oh, my Lord.
He cracked a rib.
Yeah, he fell with it.
Yeah, because he's
cracked a rib.
He's so overweight at the moment. And he and Sipo, who works with him, I think this poor Sipo must work in the perfume factory as well as in the house. Who knows? But she just watched as this whole thing fell onto Damon. And he didn't realize that the weight of him plus the carpet was too much for the jungle gym. I'm surprised. I feel most sorry for the jungle gym. But even listening to that story again over the weekend, I was like, what kind of situation is that to find yourself in? It could only happen to him.
I mean, can you imagine if it was more serious and he'd lost a limb or something?
Yeah.
And his daughter had to say for years, no, your grandfather lost his leg when the Persian carpet fell off the fell with the jungle. Oh. You know, what a way.
What does he say to his daughter now, who doesn't have a jungle gym? It's like, sorry, darling.
Yeah. Wow.
It's all daddy's fault. Just a sad, sad sight.
Yeah. Shane, here's a story from Tracy. Tracy says, my son was in hospital for months fighting leukemia, and the nurses and doctors in the oncology wards are a different kind of human. So much love and care there. They really are amazing people. And they're still in touch with Tracy, some of those doctors and nurses. See, that's just incredible.
Very cool.
John says, my daughter just saw Leanne for the first time. Obviously, listened for a while, John. He says his daughter was surprised. She thought Leanne was colored. Funny, that's why I've started working with her. I thought she was colored, and then later on.
Is that a compliment? Is that a good thing, a bad thing? How are you going to take that?
It's just always funny when someone thinks you're a completely different race.
Well, it's so great. I mean, listen, we're all going to end up colored in a couple of hundred years. So
exactly.
So the colored people who are colored now, if you're living a colored life right now, you're ahead of the curve. That's all I can say. Yeah.
Start writing books now and guidance.
Yeah, for the rest of us
who are going to meet you.
all those people are, because I know from very little experience, but still some, that all my colored friends are like, well, some days they feel like being more black, some days they feel like being more white. They love it. Yeah, I mean, listen, mixed race is the way it's going to go, right? And I think that's probably healthy for humanity, which is exactly why racism is dumb. Andre says that Home Affairs also have many caring people who work there. Yeah, you know, we tend to judge these places, that's right that we do, by our worst experiences, not our best ones. So we don't like to give a compliment as much as we like to complain. All right. So many things to get into this morning. We had a lunch at my parents' house yesterday with old family friends, and there are four children. My brother's two boys, and then our best friends, my brother's kind of contemporary. We were all kids together. He's also got two daughters, so two boys and two girls. Anyway, we're all having lunch and talking and having a lot of fun. And then my sister went inside to my parents' house, and she saw water all over the place. It was like a flood.
Ooh.
It was only about a, you know, maybe an inch deep in the passage outside the bathroom, but there was a lot of water suddenly where it shouldn't have been. So obviously one of the kids had switched on the water and just left it in the basin.
What, like in the bath? Oh, in the basin?
In the basin, and they put the plug in, and this basin was overflowing, and by the time my sister had found it, it had gone into more rooms than the bathroom, basically. So, I mean, you can imagine now you've got these. So how old are the kids? The eldest little girl's 8. Then there's my eldest nephew who's 7. And then there are the two little ones who are four and a half. Anyway, these two little ones. You could see that it was one of them, right? But one of the eldest, the eldest little girl comes up to me. She's very matter-of-factly. She goes, Gareth, I just want to tell you that it was definitely Pippa or Babu. Definitely. Oh. Two little ones.
She's a snitch.
Total snitch. It made me think of you, Leanne, that she was like, she couldn't wait to tell on, you know.
But then what were they doing if the plug was in?
You know what kids are like? So it doesn't matter which one of the two it was. They might even have been in cahoots, you know. They might have planned it together. Because you know what kids are like.
They clearly weren't just like rinsing their hands.
Mm-mm. It probably started off with good intentions, and they thought, this sounds nice, so this is interesting. Let's see what happens when the water keeps coming.
Oh, kids.
But you know what kids are like. Anyway, we managed to clean it up, so it wasn't a massive, like, you know, there wasn't scenes from the Titanic where people are running with water coming up behind them and stuff. But it was...
It wasn't like Austin, Texas at the moment.
No, it was much more funny to see, like, the kids, especially the two younger ones, who I'm sure they did it together. Just to see them kind of not covering for each other or covering for each other or turning on each other. And it made me think that actually adults are not necessarily much better than that than kids. You know, kids are...
Yeah, because are they going to own it and fess up, or are they going to play the game and try to deny it? And if they deny it, how how far?
You look at politicians. I mean, so Ace Magashule was in the news on Friday, and you know, he's been charged. They were bussing people in, as always. You know, you can hire a crowd, huh? I mean, this is something everybody knows now. I don't know exactly which website you go to or where you pay or however, but... If you give people a free T-shirt and a lunchbox and, I don't know, 100, 200
more
grand,
promises,
whatever, they'll get on a bus in Mpumalanga and come to you in Bloemfontein and just protest. And you are, if God help you, if the media ask, like, why are you here? Because sometimes the protesters don't know. That's funny. They're like, why are you here? You here to support Ace Magashule? Yes, we are here to support Ace. So the guy goes, so when you support Ace, doesn't it worry you that there are these allegations against it? No, we're not worried. But you can just tell. It's like, this guy's part of a, you know, busload of people who probably unemployed, and they desperately need some money or some food. And, you know, the politicians don't feel a damn thing. If they've got some cash lying around, they'll hire a crowd. I'm telling you, if you ever run for politics in this country, you've got to do some underhanded things, like hire crowds of people and bust them into things, create protests where there aren't really protests. If you could do all that
stuff. Isn't that also a little sad if you have to bust in supporters in inverted commas? You must know that
it's pathetic,
things are not turning out well.
But see, it's all about perception. And this is what we've started to realize, is like Jacob Zuma's, you know, he's quiet as a mouse for like, what, a year and a half, 2 years? We didn't hear from him, remember? The beginning of the Ramaphosa administration, you couldn't hear a word out of Jacob Zuma. He was basically in the wilderness. And then, all of a sudden, when the charges start piling up, he starts pulling on Julius Malema. And, you know, Julius runs to him like a lapdog at Nkandla. And then suddenly he's talking to Becky Tele. Suddenly he's drawing on all the favors that he has. That he did people favors while he was president, now they must do him a favor. And if you don't think that that is planned and strategic, then you are underestimating Jacob Zuma. And I've always said, you underestimate that guy or Julius at your peril. They're both very clever. If you call them dumb, you know, so many people I know, and maybe they just say they're dumb because they are racist people, I don't know. Or maybe they're just hoping that it's true that they're dumb, but they're not. Jacob Zuma and Julius Malema are two of the smartest people in politics. They wouldn't have got to where they've got if they were dumb. And if it's so easy and you can get there by being dumb, why don't you try, if that's your opinion? Because I don't think you'll do as well as they do. Those guys are smart, and we're all being played a lot of the time. And now with Ace, you know, we're being played again. And they will. They'll call on political favors, or they'll put money in people's accounts, and then the next thing they have like a ready-to-go protest. But those protesters aren't really there because they they care about the politician or their cause, but they can cause enough of a scene that people will believe. That's what, that, you know, that these people have a groundswell of support. Like, who's really like that emotional about Ace Machashule at this point? Unless you are one of the direct beneficiaries of his turning the Free State into his own personal fiefdom, unless you're one of the people who benefited financially from that, why would you support him? No one in the Free State is happier since Ace became premier all those years ago. In fact, everyone is worse off. We often speak to Lito on the Burning Platform, and Lito said a number of times, he's in Velcom, that province of his is an absolute disaster. And if you're poor in the Free State, you're a special kind of poor compared to poor in most other provinces, because the place has been been sacked, essentially. It's been pillaged. There's nothing left. And that's all the work of our friend Ace. So let's see if anything happens, because Shamila Batoy has to do something. We're all sitting here waiting. We're all waiting with bated breath for something to actually happen. Jacob Zuma he's flouting his contempt of court to everyone who will listen. He's just showing everybody he couldn't care less. And nothing's happened to him. Ace Machashule, all these charges against him, and nothing's yet happened to him. So unless they arrest one of those two people soon, you can take it from the president, you can take it from the NPA, you can take it from all of them. They don't have teeth anymore. Then the law does not apply to all of us anymore after that.
This is such a waste of time and people's money.
I know.
For a moment, I heard Lord, not law, and I thought, okay, sure, then let's take Jesus out of this.
Yeah, Janet says
the law doesn't apply.
The EFF are a renowned for renter crowd. The day of the Brackenfell High School protests, it was said that everyone who came from One Direction, rather, were offered 50 Rand in a T-shirt, and those on six buses were offered KFC in a T-shirt. It's so sad. When some protesters were asked why they were there, they had no idea. The only answer they gave was because of racism, as if they were told that beforehand. Mm. All right, let's get to some headlines, because there are actually things going on in the world, and we need to know what they are, especially if you didn't pay any attention to the news over the weekend. So Zuma says there's a hostile atmosphere among political parties in Parliament, and it's not conducive to nation building. Yeah, that's rich coming from him. See, now he's talking about everything. You can get a comment out of him for anything you like now. He realizes like he needs to get back out there and fight for his survival.
So that we focus on other things and not what really doing.
Exactly, Sia. Zuma was among the panelists discussing the ANC's policy documents on social cohesion and nation building. Can you imagine anything more ridiculous than the ANC as they're currently constituted, talking about social cohesion and nation building? Well, I have an idea, guys. If you care about nation building and social cohesion, stop stealing and let poor people actually get their grant money and build houses and get people running water and electricity and clean up the country and make sure people are safe. You want social cohesion? You are the government. It's not as if you're in no position to change things. You have all the excuses in the world have already been used up. Your warehouse of excuses is full, and no one's buying them anymore. Anyway, this guy, Jacob Gedleglegiza Zuma, was out there saying, yeah, the problem is a hostile atmosphere in Parliament. I mean, really.
Of course.
So I don't even want to know what his opinion is. But he says, unfortunately, the focus of parliamentary debates is geared towards achieving short-term electoral advantages. The atmosphere is not give an impression to the public that we are a united and cohesive country. That is a problem. I'll give him that. But it is not the first thing we need to tackle. First thing we need to tackle, sir, is the fact that you handed our country on a platter to the Guptas and helped yourself to everything you could. It's just unreal. Like, that's what he thinks is the biggest problem? Sure. You would have to be totally out of touch, which he is. EWN reporting that a Guguletu woman and child have died in a blaze that destroyed 19 informal structures. There isn't a month that goes by where we don't have a story like this. And this is so preventable. You know, this is not a death that's inevitable. This we can do something about. These informal settlements, we've discussed them a million times. They're built too close together. It's desperate people. Once a fire starts, you can't put it out. There are no fire breaks. It's just the saddest thing. And firefighters responded on Saturday night. Several shacks were alight in the Pola Park area of Guguletu. Authorities managed to douse the flames about 2.5 hours later. Close to 50 people have been affected by the fire, and this one woman and child were discovered. The fire was extinguished before 9 p.m. The cause of the blaze is unknown. Very, very ugly, sad story, and something to be genuinely upset about this morning. ENCA reporting that Shepherd Bushiri's family have been stopped from leaving Malawi. The controversial prophet's daughters and mother-in-law have reportedly been stopped from leaving Malawi for Kenya. Bushiri and his wife fled from South Africa to Malawi after being granted bail last year. They're facing charges of theft, money laundering, and fraud in connection with an alleged 100 million rand investment scheme. And all we know at the moment is that his family members weren't allowed to leave Malawi. So there's obviously, they're keeping an eye on them, which is probably a good thing. Malcolm X's family have made calls to reopen the investigation into his murder. This is an interesting story. So the daughters of Malcolm X have asked the investigation to be reopened in light of new testimony implicating New York police and the FBI. Any evidence that provides great insight into the truth behind that terrible tragedy should be thoroughly investigated, said Iyasa Shabazz. Wow, what a name, huh? Iyasa Shabazz. That's one of Malcolm X's six daughters. Considered alongside Martin Luther King Jr. as the most influential African-American in modern history, Malcolm X was an outspoken Muslim advocate of black rights, although critics says he preached racism and violence. He was gunned down all the way back in 1965 in New York City. And when contacted by the Agence France-Presse on Sunday, a spokesperson for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office said they will keep an eye on the case. It's active and ongoing. During the press conference, a letter written by former New York police officer Raymond Wood, who's now dead, was read out, in which he accused the NYPD and FBI of being complicit in the killing of Malcolm X. So, interesting story. And something which is ongoing. Then the BBC report that Bitcoin keeps hitting new highs after Tesla's backing, although Tesla shares have taken a bit of a knock. So, is it good? Is it not? Is Elon gambling with other people's money, shareholders' money? This is the big debate that's going on there at the moment. And we keep an eye on Bitcoin on this show, you know, with Sean Sanders from Revix every week. And I did see it hitting like $57,000. It feels like just the other day that we were going, oh, wow, it's at $35,000. Now it's at $57,000. Today it's at $55,500 or so. But not a day goes by where I don't check on that Bitcoin price. And it's not because I've got massive Bitcoin investments. I wish I did at this point. But it's just the most interesting ride to pay attention to. And if you're not watching it, you're missing out on some fun, especially if you're the kind of person who likes to see what gamblers are up to. Bitcoin hit above 58,000 on Sunday. It continued strong momentum this year. The cryptocurrency has risen by 90% since the start of January, pushing the total market value above $1 trillion. The recent spike has been fueled by Tesla and other big companies accepting it as payment. However, Bitcoin has a track record of wild price swings and has fallen sharply a number of times since 2009 when it was created. Bitcoin started the year at roughly $28,900, according to figures from the site CoinDesk. When it broke through 40,000 in January, it triggered a downward trend that saw it drop to 30 by the end of the month. However, having passed 50,000 on the 16th of February, it continued its upward journey and broke new records on Sunday. Sure. It's really not, it's not for people who are nervous or anxious.
No, I mean,
you'll die.
if I had a lot of money invested, the whole question now is, when do you pull out, you know?
Sorry, no.
Hopefully before you make her pregnant. Yeah.
I knew it. All right, I knew it.
Nikki sent us a little tongue twister that we want you to try this morning. So if you look on your screen, Sia, there is a thing about sock cutters that we want you to read. Mm-hmm. So read that, Sia, once as quickly as you can. Go.
Oh, geez, that's a lot. One sock cutter, he cuts socks. Two sock cutters. One sock cutter, he cuts socks. Two sock cutters, they cut socks. Three sock cutters, they all cut socks. Ha!
You got it. All right.
Second time's the charm.
Well done.
Never once did you say suck cock.
Go, yeah. Yep. Yeah, and you try.
One sock cutter, he cuts socks. Two sock cutters, they cut socks. Three sock cutters, they all cut socks.
Well done.
I'm
good at them. What can I say?
I'll try. One sock cutter, he cuts socks. Two sock cutters, they cut socks. Three sock cutters, they all cut socks. No, I didn't say
that. If you're reading it, it's easier. If you try and say it from memory, it's harder.
Yeah, because I watched a woman doing this on Instagram over the weekend, and she kept saying, suck cocks.
It's always funny to do it to your parents or your grandparents.
Yes. Hey.
It's the only way to get a swear word out of them.
But maybe we are, we're just fresh on a Monday morning, and that's a good sign, right?
No, I'm feeling so nauseous.
Why?
Yesterday was just not a good day for me. I have no idea. And even when I woke up this morning, I still feel like lethargic. It's weird. I don't know why. I have these bouts of feeling nauseous every now and then. Well, and it's a weird thing that I've now just accepted. But 22
says, Sia, just be careful because you once shat your pants. So we don't want you to do that.
Well, and that too. No.
All right.
It is, you know, I hate making.
Not a week goes by, Sia, where you aren't reminded of that. I'm so sorry.
No, not at all. And look, I always make light of it as if I know what it's like, but just this, what it's like to be pregnant and how your emotions are all over the place.
Well, Sia, you might be pregnant.
I could be.
You could be pregnant because, you know, a lot of people in the trans movement say that you don't have to be a biological woman from birth to be pregnant. Some men can get pregnant. That's what they say. They also say
maybe you're like a seahorse. You never know.
Maybe.
I don't know where this embryo would be sitting, though. I don't know.
Listen, Robin asks, Dr. Robin, quite rightly, maybe it's time for us to check in on Anthea because we haven't spoken to her in such a long time since we finished doing the money shot. And, you know, it was such a popular thing that we did. We just decided we were all getting a bit bored with the format, and Anthea was really busy, and, you know, it was very amicable. Can we try and get her back just to do a once-off hello and check in with us this week, perhaps? Will you make contact?
All right.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
I by the way, checked on my hashtag invest account with her, which is still on Easy Equities, and that's really doing very well, so I think it would be nice to also congratulate her on how well that portfolio has performed over the, I think it's 3 or 4 years, maybe even 5, that we've been on there. And it continues to impress. So another reason to check in with her. All right. While we're talking about like tongue twisters and things, there's a word that I can't stand and I really don't like. And it's one of those words that just gives me the chills because the kind of people who introduced me to that word are, this is just my least favorite word. I don't have a, you know, a lot of words affect people emotionally. It's just, I hate the sound of it. Binet.
Is it like the word? Oh, yeah.
Binet.
Binet.
You know, when someone talks about, like, yeah, we were there and there was one or two hot binets and there was a couple of my mates and I just hate that word, binet.
It means your chick, your goose.
Yeah, but where does it come
from?
Because
goose.
Where does my binet come from? Is it from a specific language? Does anybody know the etymology of it? Because honestly, it's like the most horrible word.
Well, I mean, I obviously did my young schooling in the South.
South.
So, I mean, for me, it was just part of the vocab. But that would have come from my Lebanese and Greek friends. And also we had a word for look at, which was shuf.
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 So, yeah, so it would be shuf my binet. Like if your girlfriend, you'd gone away for the weekend and your girlfriend walked out in her bikini, you go, shuf my binet.
Well, I looked it up on Urban Dictionary, And it says,
of course,
says South African slang for woman. So it obviously didn't come from overseas or anything. It's something that's developed here. And they say it's the female equivalent of boot.
Yes.
An endearing term used by celebrities like Hard Eddie, so that's Gord, of boot fighter fame. So he actually is – Hard Eddie is – I must take a screenshot of this and send it to Gord. He'll love that. So it says Hard Eddie of boot fighter fame, Zeph rappers. So that would be like the Antwoord or
– The Antwoord. You know,
normal civilians of all genders. And then the quote it uses – I love these quotes. The quote is, those four-ways binets will drib you if you look at them funny.
You know what? Gord might have actually made this entry himself.
That sounds so good. That's so great. I love it. And it's got like 18 thumbs up and one thumb down. Bennett.
What, do you still have a lot? Do you know of a lot of people who still use that word?
No. So I saw it on social media. Someone said that it said in a caption or something, chilling with the Bennetts. And I was like, I just hate that word.
How old is that person?
I don't even know. I can't remember. It's just I suddenly looked at it and I was like, we've got to talk about this on the show because it's such a cuck word.
There was a word from that time as well, tapid, which I don't enjoy. Well, tapid is a car part. It's something to do with cars. And it would refer to someone who was like a real gonk or a nerd or very, very un-PC, retard.
I heard it was something else.
What did you hear it was?
A tapid.
I heard tapid was like for someone who was, you know, lower class. They were from the bad part of town. You had a tapid.
I think it was just generically, it was bad.
Yeah, okay, maybe we both... Look, the point with a lot of these words is that you don't know where they come from, and you don't know what the... So the definition drifts between different communities, and you don't actually know... I hate that word, Bennett. It's the least tasteful word you could possibly imagine.
Oh, wow. Andrew and Steph say shuf is look in Arabic. I believe they derive from Arabic. Maybe this is why my Lebanese friends... you know, were the first for me to hear from. Shuf my bennet.
Oh, wow. Rafi says maybe it's derived from the Arabic word bint, which means the daughter of. So, you know, it could be Alicia bint Salman, the daughter of Salman.
You know, I asked how old that person was who used that caption, because I know I judge a lot, but I still stand firmly on why I judge people like this. I think at a certain age, you can't be using vocab like this. Even just, on guys, if you are over 25, well, 25 is a lot, 23, you can't be speaking like this. I even judge people, if you're over the age of 23 and you still text me like it's mixed days, I cannot take you seriously.
I'd forgotten about mixed.
Can I ask you a serious question? Because I think I'm well approaching the age where I've got to be very careful about emoji use, because I get, you know, we're all getting lazy and we reply with emojis now just because it's easier, it's quicker. You can like do a laughing face to everything, and you know, it kind of takes care of the reply, because I always feel bad if I don't reply to people. But is there a cutoff age? Because I mean, even my parents use emojis on WhatsApp.
That's the thing. So older people are already canceling out any worries that we have of that, because everyone's using them now. So I used to see it as a sign of immaturity. But it's become so commonplace now that I don't have a problem with it. And I'll use them where necessary and where it's appropriate.
Mm. Emojis aren't too bad for me. Use emojis and, like, look, when my mother texts me, I know I need to expect at least 8 emojis. She'll say something like,
really?
Good night, with flowers, a heart, a star, a thumbs up, a kiss, and...
That's so sweet.
I don't know, another flower.
Oh, that's like, so nice.
That's the thing. But if you text me and say, WUD, no, I'm not responding. Ask me, what are you doing? Not would,
work.
Like, ugh.
Yeah.
My mom tends to, you know, when you type a word, it brings up a suggested emoji.
Yes.
She'll use it. So it'll, like, we call my brother boy.
Oh,
so
shit.
It'll say, hi, boy, and then a picture of a little blonde boy with lots of hair. And, you know, yeah.
And the one thing, like, we know about your brother is he does not have a lot of hair.
No.
Oh.
Something completely not representing him, this yellow person with a lot of blonde hair.
That's just a thing now.
So we've got a guest joining us a little later on. I think you're going to be quite pleased to hear from her, especially on a Monday. You know, Mondays are tough for people, so we're going to try on Mondays to give you some inspiration. Nikki Robotham is going to be with us. She's just written a book called 7 Steps to Finding Flow, and there are a whole bunch of tips and tricks and things that will help you start your week. And since we're still at the beginning of the year, your year on the right note, you know, what is behind your stress? How does stress impact your energy, your nervous system, your hormones, how you can move your nervous system into a state of flow? It all sounds very, very good if she's got the cajones to give us some good advice this morning. Then we'll be very, very pleased, I'm sure, for all of that. And how to make choices that support your energy by living in harmony with your body. So I'm just hoping she's not going to go ding, 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 gong, along, along, like crystal healing, but maybe she's got some good shit in there, you know? We'll check in with Nikki.
We must start that interview off with a gong.
No, like, gong. I'll see if I can find something to gong with just now.
Some wind chimes, maybe.
It sounds about right. All right, so it's Monday morning. You can let us know what's on your mind on 0797482090. We want to hear from you. Here's some funny comments. This one's from Jasko. Jasko says, the Tappet Triangle is Boxburg, Benoni, Brakpan.
And yes, confirmation on Webinar Jam that a tappet is used to refer to someone who's not that intelligent.
Oh, okay. Andre.
Like a knobhead.
Andre says, thank God the people who people no longer use the words kif or aware. And if you're in your late 20s and still using these, you can fight me, bitch, says Andre.
No, but you know what? It's fun to use words that aren't popular anymore just as a joke. Like, how funny would it be if I said, no, that's really kif? It's, you know, as long as I know that it's not.
Then you're being ironic.
Leanne,
you're being ironic.
It starts like that, and we laugh at it now, and this is exactly how we still have people with mullets and shoulder pads in the year 2021. No. We need to just nip it in the bud. No.
Carl says, I always end off an emoji run with a smiling poo. No matter what the context, I always end with a poo. For example, I'm so sorry about the death of your dad. Heart, praying hands, smiley poo. Oh, man, you got to listen.
Imagine your phone was faulty and it did that.
No. Oh, my gosh, no.
Oh, Jesus, no. That would be awful. All right, then, just a quick thing, because this is really a short one, but Prince Philip is not looking great, apparently. You know, we were talking about how he was admitted to hospital last week. I know Sia keeps such an eye on all of this stuff. He knows exactly what's going on. So apparently he's been in hospital, 4 nights now, Sia? And there's no need to worry, according to official statements, but the guy is 99 years old, and the last time we saw him, he did look like the crypt keeper. So,
you know, I rarely ever get involved in online stuff and comments and whatnot, but this weekend I did, and I thought, Sia, no, don't start this.
What did you get involved with?
Allegations and speculations of what is happening with the prince and how is he actually feeling, because Prince Charles visited him over the weekend. We started analyzing. I was one of those people in the comments section. We were analyzing how Prince Charles looked in the car after the visit. We thought, his eyes are a little too misty. I'm sure he was crying. This is not good. Prince Charles has never cried before. He's never had to visit his father in hospital, so this is not good.
Yes.
What will happen if he does die? I mean, firstly, does it affect anything in the in the royal family? And secondly, does it mean a big procession amid COVID?
It's a whole thing. I don't know how they're going to handle it with COVID going on because they're still under very strict lockdown there. But the fact is, if he makes it to June, he'll be 100. So it would round off a pretty amazing life if he got to 100. Yeah. Don't you think?
Exactly. Cool.
All right. Well, apparently, according to the Weather Bureau, we're expecting a lot more rain this week, so get ready for that, especially if you're in Gauteng, the Northern Free State, Mpumalanga Northwest, Limpopo, those areas. That's what they're saying. There'll be some rain. I haven't seen any cloud. I haven't actually been outside at all this morning, but I that's what they say. They, the Weather Bureau, who know everything. So keep an eye for that. Janet says, I heard somewhere that the prayer thing is actually a high five. Is that right?
There's another one. That's true, yes. But isn't there one with like lines coming off of it, indicating a sound effect?
That to me is a wave, isn't it?
That one's
just the hand with lines around it. I thought that was a wave.
If you go into your WhatsApp, you type in hey or hello, it sometimes gives you the wave. So that's definitely not. Yeah, I think. And if this is a prayer, then I've been using it right. If this is a high five, I haven't. Because imagine you say to someone, as Janet says, you know, sorry about your house burning down, but it's a high five.
High five.
That's a bit awkward.
But if you actually type the word prayer, it comes up with the praying hand.
All right. Well, then that's what it is. Well done. You solved that problem. Thank you, Lee and Moll. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Nikki, who's written this book, 7 Steps to Finding Flow. We'll also take your thoughts and your calls and your comments, as always, on 0797-482090. Let us know what's going on social media in your life, what you want to talk about, whether you did anything fun over the weekend. We want to know all about it. And you can join us either on Webinar Jam, where you can see us live. Or, by the way, we'll be going to YouTube soon. Which is also well overdue.
Yes.
The only reason up to now that we haven't done that is because we wanted to get it right, and I'm nervous to even say anything until we've tried it. But that'll be happening soon because it's long overdue. We had I told you about our Facebook that was hacked last week. We managed to, thank God. I just want to give props to, and you know, I'm always mean about social media, but I'm going to give props to the South African office of Facebook because they really came to the party and helped us. And I hope they would be as helpful to people who don't have like the hundreds of thousands of followers that we Cliff Central do on Facebook. But they really did everything they could, and I want to say a big thank you to them, especially for Riot at Facebook for helping us out this last week, because we were in a hell of a state trying to get our social media working, and we were basically hacked, locked out of our account by some dude in India or a company, for all we know. And it took us a while to reclaim our own sort of property there. So well done to them.
I was ready to meet with someone in a parking lot for an exchange.
With a brown paper bag.
I'm a team player like that. Yes.
Thank you, Sia. I know we could always rely on Sia for these things. Plus, he'd quite like the intrigue of it. All right. It is 7 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I have a perfect trench coat that would have worked for the occasion.
And a wide
trench coat, and a hat, big glasses.
A Becky Taylor type hat, right, Sia? That's what you need.
Yes.
Beautiful. CliffCentral.com.